So, in baptism, if you've never been baptized in water, here's the reason for it. As you go under, you're saying to the world, I die. Man, I can't do this on my own. But because of the power of God, I can live as a person of grace.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Yesterday, we began a message on the reason for our faith, and we learned that Jesus came to earth to fulfill all the law's requirements for forgiveness of our sins. We saw how when we take communion, we remember his love for us, and we commit to live by his law of grace. Well, today, Pastor Wayne will show us the importance of water baptism as an outward sign of our faith. Here he is with a message entitled, The Reason for Our Faith.
Now, the word it is finished is this. It's an Aramaic word, tetelestai. Not only it is finished, that the agreement and the promise of God was fulfilled for us so that we might be a people of faith and forgiveness and grace, because we couldn't do it. We couldn't even keep the substitutionary sacrifices. So God says, I will fulfill that so that you'll continue to be a people of faith. But it'll be a new covenant that I'm going to cut with you in my blood, the blood of the Lamb. But he said, it is finished. That word tetelestai is actually, believe it or not, it is a banker's word. It's a banker's word. Tetelestai actually is what you stamp on a bill fully paid. And when you stamp it, it reads paid in, that's the word tetelestai. He actually said paid in full. In fact, they did an architectural dig in the near Middle East. Unearthed looked like a banker's vault, and actually on sandstone there was one, like a stamp with a cut in it, tetelestai. And that's what they would stamp on bills that were paid. And that's exactly what Jesus said from the cross. So he cut a new covenant where he died. And then God raised him from the dead, and it's a new testament or a new covenant that when we step across the line of faith, not of law now, but of faith, that Jesus says to us, when we violate God's laws, we now not go to a sacrifice or substitution, but we come to Christ, and with forgiveness, he gives us grace to be a people of faith. Now you say, well, Wayne, that's pretty cheap, isn't it? If you can just sin, mess things up, then ask God for grace, you could do it again. No. If you understand this law of grace now, not the law of penalties, but the law of grace. If you understand grace and it grips and captivates your heart, it'll change you completely. Grace. Let me explain it this way. Let's say I'm the boss of a large corporation, and or there is a boss of a large corporation. Now, he's got cameras around, surveillance cameras, and he notices one employee just stealing stuff all the time. And he just films it and just leaves it. But this guy keeps going for about a year. He's stealing computers, he's stealing staples and pens and pilfers money. And he takes all of this stuff home. Well, after a year, the boss says, I can't afford this. And he goes and confers with the attorney general, and the attorney general says, oh, no, that's criminal activity going on. And he says, yeah, I got a lot of tapes to show. It's empirically provable that this man is guilty and has continued to do this. So he said, you need to press charges. Well, the next day, the sheriff comes up with the car, has his handcuffs. But before that employee knows what's going on, the boss calls him into his office and says, Elwin, come here. Come here. No, I'm just joking. But it is plausible. It's plausible. So he says, come. And he just shows him a couple of videos. Click. Watch this one. Click. Watch this one. And you can just see the man's head hanging lower and lower, knowing that he's caught. He's done. His future has been eradicated. His job is gone. He's facing a long jail term. And the boss said, I've already conferred with the attorney general, and there's nothing I can do. Charges have been filed, and you will be standing before the judge, and you will serve a long sentence. He says, oh, I know. Where's the stuff? Can you give me any of the stuff back? No, I've sold it all on Craigslist. So I'm out all of that. Sorry. Well, the sheriff is waiting down the hall. You're dismissed. This guy's shoulders hung, knowing that his future has been completely demolished. I don't know what's going to happen to his family. He's got a wife and child, but that's it. He's off. They're going to put him in handcuffs and take him away immediately. So as he slowly and with a defeated spirit walking down the hallway towards the sheriff and his open car door, let's just say, what if the boss says, wait a minute. Come back for a second. And the boss says, you know, I love you, and I know that there's someone inside of you that's a good man. And because I love your child and your family and your wife, knowing that if you are taken away, their future is demolished. They won't have a roof over their head. They won't have any food to eat. They're finished too. Because I love you and I love your family, I'm not only going to forgive you, but I'm going to give you grace. Which means that not only am I not going to press charges, forgive you, I'm going to restore you to your place in this company. You can have your role back, and I'm even going to restore you your pay scale. And I'm going to absorb the loss because I love you and your family and your future more than you do. Do you understand? And from this moment on, when you go, you are going to live under grace. Because you are gone. You're in jail. But you're living by grace. It's the only reason you exist in this company from now on. Now, if this person understands grace and it captivates his heart, do you think when he goes back to his place of employment, his department, do you think he's going to just start stealing again? Not on your life. He's a different person because he is now living under grace. And if someone says, what a stupid company, I don't like this company, he's going to say, no! This is the best company in the world. What are you talking about? Do you understand how great this company is? He speaks differently. When someone says, well, that stupid boss, he doesn't care about us. This guy's going to say, no, he does. He loves you more than you'll ever know. Don't talk like that. What caused him to change? It's because he understands that he is a man under grace. When you and I step across the line and we look at him on the cross, that should be my blood. Should be my broken body and filleted back. That should be me. He didn't do any of the stuff I did. I did that. But the Lord invites us across the line of faith to receive his sacrifice for our sins. And that it's what it means to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you've never done that, we're going to give you an opportunity today. But then he institutes, just like the Old Testament, the sacrificial system. Well, that was fulfilled. But still, there's something today that God wants us to institute as a perpetual statute so that we will remember. There's two things of remembrance. Number one, would you write down communion? It's your second fill-in. Communion is, here it is, remembering his love for us. And it's us committing to live by his law of grace. You see, when we take communion, you'll take a cup, and it's really, that represents his blood. And this broken bread, his body that was broken. And the Bible says, on that day he took bread and broke it. After having given thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, this is my body which is broken for you. As often as you eat it, remember that you're a people who live by grace. It changes you. If you're captivated by his grace, you're a new person. And then in like manner, he took the cup and said, this is the cup of the new covenant, not old covenant. new covenant shed in my blood for the forgiveness of sins, my sins. As oft as you drink it, remember me. In other words, when we take communion, we take that and say, this should be me. This should have been my blood. But as I take communion, I actually am saying, I'm going to die with Christ. My old man is dead. And I now live by grace, by faith in Christ. That's why Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says that we are saved by faith through God's grace, not of ourselves, but of what He has done. And you can't boast about anything. He's the innocent Lamb of God, not us. So it's by faith in Him and by grace we are alive. And that communion reminds us. That's why He says, let's read it together under your number two. Would you read it? Go. When He had given thanks, He broke the bread and said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of. He took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, and as often as you drink it, here it is, remember me. In just a moment, we're going to take communion. But let me first of all tell you the second statute to help us remember our new life in Christ. That He, wanting us to be a people of faith so bad, He cut a covenant with Himself, which is, I sin, He dies. He fulfilled that and then says, now if you'll come to the cross where the sacrifice has been made once and for all by grace and His forgiveness, you continue as a people of faith. But never forget that you're a people of grace. And so I take this communion, I remember who I am, because it's easy to forget and just start living as the world again. And then we just use God like a good luck charm. I say, whoa, you missed it all. Remember. And then the other perpetual statute is baptism. Baptism. As you go under the water, you're saying, I'm going to die to my old person, because that should be dead. And as I come up out of the water, Jesus Christ didn't only just die for my sins, by the power of God, He was resurrected. So I live according to His grace. So when I go under the water, I die. And I come up and I say, I'm going to live by grace. So would you write down a number three? Here it is. What is it? Baptism is an outward sign of us stepping across the line of faith, saying, Lord, I will die. That old man's dead. I'm going to live by faith. In fact, let's read the scripture. Go. Have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined Him in His death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. So, in baptism, if you've never been baptized in water, here's the reason for it. As you go under, you're saying to the world, I die. Man, I can't do this on my own. But because of the power of God, I can live as a person of grace. That's what water baptism is. And that's why we read the final scripture here. Read it with me. Go. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself up for me. Me. And so, when we take communion, we remember. Baptism, remember. Our old Wayne is dead. It's a new one under grace. Changes everything about me. And we do this often because we often forget. Today, we're going to invite you to take communion, to remember who we are. Now you say, but Wayne, what if I'm not a member of New Hope? Can I take this? Absolutely, so long as you're a member of the body of Christ. Now, some may say, but Wayne, what if I'm not a Christian? Can I take communion? You can, but it won't mean as much to you unless what you just heard, it grips you. But you can make that decision now because you can't stay on the other side of the line. You'll never get it together. You need to come into the embrace of God. And you can make that decision today, and we're going to give you an opportunity to do that. Because Jesus always extends that invitation that says, come, come, step over the line of faith. I paid the Old Testament. I paid that price. And now come to the cross. Some of you are here and you'd say, man, God knows I need forgiveness. Then come to the cross. God knows I need a new future. Then come to Him. But I've done wrong things. That's why you come to the place where He paid the price for those wrong things, and He gives you a new life by faith, and you live by grace. And as He extends that invitation, when you say yes with an upraised hand, you're simply saying yes to His invitation to make Him Lord and Savior. And I want to give you that opportunity before we take communion. In fact, would you bow your heads with me and let's pray. If you're here today and you'd say, Wayne, I've not made that confession of faith to Christ, and I'd like to, because God knows I need forgiveness. I don't understand everything there is to understand, but I do know this, that He died for my sins, and I want to receive that forgiveness. And I understand grace. I receive that. I want to say yes to Him. If you're here and you say, yep, that's my decision, I want to open my heart to Jesus Christ. I want you right now to raise a hand. And in doing so, you're saying yes to Jesus Christ. Yep, okay, yeah. The Lord sees those hands, yeah. Okay. Yep. Anyone else? Just hold it up so I can see it just for a second. Okay. Yeah. All right, yeah, okay. Yeah. The Lord sees those. All right, in the back, yep. Yeah. Okay. Right. You can put your hands down. If this is the first time that you've made that decision to follow Christ, as you go outside, there will be ushers with yes packets, and in it is a Bible and some follow-up material. Please take one. It's free of charge. You might be here and you'd say, Wayne, I'm a Christian, but I tell you, I often forget. God, would you remind me daily that I am one of your children? And that I live by grace through faith in Christ. Would you remind me afresh that I am one of your children? If that's you, would you just raise a hand and say, yeah, I need to be reminded often. I forget. Yeah. We're going to pray this prayer, and I want you to pray it out loud, especially if this is your first time. But I'll give you the words, and you add the heart. Would you pray this? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Lord Jesus, thank you that you came and died for my sins, that I might have life everlasting. Change me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you as Lord and Savior. I step across the line of faith and call you Lord. You're my healer, my redeemer, my deliverer. And now I say this so everyone can hear, so you can hear me, so I can hear myself, and so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to Him. In Jesus' name.
The path we take to get where we are is often a strange one. For one man, Willie Hose, his path of destruction led him right to where the Lord needed him to be.
Growing up, there was seven of us, five boys, two girls, and mom was raising us by herself, the seven kids by herself. So being the one in the middle, yeah, you're always fighting for the attention. So I started stealing when I was young. I came good at it. But started getting into cocaine, steroids, eventually ice.
I was mixed up at the time with Ice for a short season. Willie and I did Ice a couple of times together. So that's how I got to know him more closely.
One day I just called my girlfriend and I told her, hey, I cannot breathe. This is it already. So I drove myself to the hospital. And when I got in there, the doctor took a look at me. And all he just told me was, well, it's because of your drugs. That's why you like this. And he said, you know, your heart is only working at 8%. And the rest, yeah, is 8% isn't good enough to keep you alive past 2 days.
With death looming over him, Willie did what he knew he needed to do long ago. He cried out to God, and God answered.
I was too heavy for a pacemaker. But when I said that prayer that night, I went from 325. When I woke up in the morning, I was 275, 280. I went down to 255 before I left the hospital. And then when I stayed with Mom, then I went down to 210.
When I first saw Willie when he walked into our church, it was hard to notice Willie because he lost maybe over 100 pounds. He was real skinny, pale, because he just had gotten out of the hospital.
That was in March 2003, and here I am today, running off for God, yeah.
Willie's disability has given him the ability to serve the Lord every day of the week. He hands out food to the homeless, mentors boys in the detention home, attends Life Change and Men's Ministry, serves at New Hope Manoa, visits heart patients in the hospital, and of course, drives a shuttle at Farrington for 10 hours every Saturday.
Whenever we're in need of someone to help drive the shuttle, someone to visit someone at the hospital, just someone to lend a helping hand, Willie's always there.
Willie's great, full of love. He's always concerned about my welfare, other people's welfare.
He's such a colorful person. Everybody's just drawn to him because just the person he is, he's blessed.
Till today, the doctor, every time I go in his office, he tell me, you know, Willie, you're supposed to be dead. Yeah, inside I'm thinking, I am dead, dead to myself. Yeah, I'm with God now. Yeah, since I met Jesus, it's been a better ride, a way better ride.
The Lord has given us all gifts that we must steward well. For Willie, it was the gift of life.
Now, every day is, Willie, what are you going to do with this gift I gave you today? How are you going to use it? Yeah, if I stay home and do nothing, then it's a wasted gift.
And my gift? Well, for me, God brought back my son and restored our relationship. I couldn't be happier.
And Lord, we as your people come to you today and we say that we will come to you again and again for forgiveness and grace as many times as we need to. And you invite us to do that so that we'll keep our hearts clear and clean. You paid the price for that. And we say thank you. Thank you for these who raised their hands for the first time. And the many that'll be baptized. Lord, thank you for this people of faith. In Jesus' name we pray.
Just heard the conclusion of a message entitled The Reason for Our Faith by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening. until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.